I'd like to say good afternoon to everyone, and would like to thank everyone for assembling with us via the conference call on this afternoon to hear another portion of the Word of God. I want to thank Brother Gulick for leading us in songs on this afternoon. The prayers offered by Brother Foreman and Brother McNeil, scripture reading by Brother Price, and also communion and offering led by Brother Miles. I want to thank those brothers for availing themselves and for participating on this afternoon regarding our worship service. Again, I want to thank you for being on the call, and I hope that those that are note takers, you have your pen and paper to take notes, and I'll share with you the Word of God. Thankful for the prayers that were made and the encouragement that is offered from God's word to those that are listening. And we want to speak of those again. I want to encourage those that are not members of the body of Christ. I want to share that specifically the morning message are designed a pitch with you in mind, those that are not Christians. Brother Brooks doing an excellent job. Thank him again for this morning's sermon and using the text as I shared with him to talk about the family unit and our responsibility as grandparents, parents, and even children to God and our responsibility to him. And I want to say that for those, and then when we invite members, obviously we want to have them at both services, but the morning worship is designed for those specifically, for those that are non-Christians. And then in the afternoon, my messages are designed a pitch specifically for those that are Christians. However, I will still share with those that are non-Christians how they can become a Christian. And so I would like to begin by saying to those that are non-Christian, those that are visitors, you've been invited on the call this afternoon by someone that is a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ. I would like to say to you that in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, Jeremiah recognized something when he said, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." So Jeremiah realized, as you should realize, that God didn't allow us to come on earth that we can do whatever we want to do. And we'll talk about that in the Word of God this afternoon, those that are self-willed. But also what Jesus said in Matthew 6, in verse number 33, he prioritized what man should look for spiritually when he said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his or God's righteousness." So Jesus let those that had yet to become Christians, let them know what they should be looking for, what they should be seeking is God's kingdom and his righteousness. And then when Jesus met Nicodemus in John chapter 3 in the verses number 3, when Nicodemus met him by night, the Bible records that Jesus said to him in John 3:3, answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So that which Jesus said man was to seek, Jesus also said to Nicodemus, unless a person is born again and this birth is a spiritual one, he said he cannot even see the kingdom of God. And then in Acts 2:47, on the first worship service after the resurrection of Christ, the Bible records in the last verse of Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church, which is the kingdom of God, daily such as to be saved. So if you're going to be saved, you would have to be added to the church. Those on the call this afternoon, I will share specifically what one must do in order to be added to the church. Until you obey God, you can't add yourself. And you can't add yourself by how you want to be added. You have to be added according to the scriptures. And I will share that to those that are listening on the call. And we're still welcome and excited about everyone that's on the call this afternoon. So this afternoon, thank again the brother that read our scripture reading. We're staying with the message of Peter, his second letter that he wrote to Christians. And so we want to talk this afternoon as Peter shared to those Christians about the punishment that awaits those that remain in a lifestyle that's opposed to the laws of God. That's why we say, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. That's the title. If you are living unrighteous as a Christian, there is a payment or reward. And so I want to share first, turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Again, thank you, Brother Brooks, for the message on this morning. And I just want to say publicly, over the airwaves, that I'm just thankful to God that God allowed our paths to cross about 12 years ago in 2008, I think it was. We were able to meet one another, and I was able to come and worship with the congregation at Highland Heights and put my stakes there. Brother Brooks asked me to be his assistant minister, which I gladly accepted. And we've had a relationship since then, so I want to thank him because it was our relationship that we started, and he taught me what preaching the gospel was and getting clarity on being a gospel preacher and knowing what the gospel is and the importance of the gospel. So I want to thank him for that relationship and share with you all that what our responsibility as the ministers of those that assemble at Highland Heights and even those that worship with us over the airways and are listening with us. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the verse is number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse is number 2. Paul, in writing to Timothy, as Brother Brooks talked about Timothy on this morning, but Timothy, again, as Brother Brooks said, from the reading this morning, we have no record that the father ever obeyed the Lord, but we know that the mother fathered the grandmother, his grandmother, and became a Christian. And so we see that because of the grandmother's influence and how she passed on her faith to her daughter and how her daughter passed on to Timothy. Timothy not only became a Christian, but he became a gospel preacher. And Paul wrote to him, and in the second letter, he told him to preach the word and be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. I want to say to those that listen to myself and Brother Brooks, our responsibility is to preach the word. And we are to be, Paul said, to be ready, be instant, to be ready in season when it's easy to do. And then he said, out of season when it may not be the proper time or when it may be unseasonable. He said, still preach the word and to reprove and to rebuke. And what I want to do on this afternoon, what my joy comes from, is from the word exhort. He said, with all long suffering. And sometimes when you see compound words in English translated from Greek, oftentimes the word means to suffer long, not long suffering, but to suffer long. In other words, to have patience, and you do it through teaching. And so when he talked about the word exhort, by definition, that word means to call to one side. To call to one side to offer. And so when I'm sharing the word of God, when I'm exhorting you, I'm asking you, I'm calling you to my side, and I'm doing it for three reasons. When the word exhort means, definition of the word exhort, it means to comfort. Sometimes I call you to the side, or I can do it to the congregation too, but it is that which is to give strength and to hope. During these trying times, through the word of God, I can build you up, give you strength, and give you hope. And then secondly, it talks about the word means to exhort it, what I'm going to do this afternoon, which is to try and to influence you through the word of God. I'm going to influence you if you have a struggle with unrighteousness. What I want to try to do is use the word of God, allow you to read with me the word of God, and influence you to get your behavior right. And then sometimes exhort means the word beseech. You'll find in the text. And the word beseech is when that which is to ask you in a serious way to do something when it may be a matter of salvation. Now, sometimes as a preacher, we have to, the word beseech or to beg you to change something. Why? It's a salvational matter. So sometimes we have to, again, to comfort, to exhort, and to beseech you. And God tells us through the word of God, Paul tells us, told Timothy the preacher how to do it. You do it with patience, and you do it through teaching. So let's look at our text tonight. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. So Peter here was talking about those false teachers in verse number 1 of chapter 2. And he begins to enumerate their behaviors. But just like false teachers, there can be those that are Christians that are not false teachers, but can still line up with behaviors that Peter talks about in the letter. Let's pick up at verse number 9 of 2 Peter chapter 2, because he talked about, as my subject was on last Sunday, that the Lord knoweth. I don't have to know, but the Lord knoweth how to deliver, how to rescue the godly, those that are pleasing to God, those that are godly out of your trials. God can do that. God know how to do that. And God is looking down on all of our situations, and God know how and when to come. And then he says, and to reserve the unjust. That's what we're talking about this afternoon. The unjust, or the word unjust, the same word, unrighteous, until the day of judgment. Notice now he says, to be punished. Let me say this and be clear. If you live as a Christian an unrighteous life, you don't change it. And I'll give you a process, procedures of how to change that behavior, because if not, Peter said, you're going to receive punishment. He said, but chiefly, or especially then, verse number 10, that walk, not after, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-will. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. So Peter said, when you walk out to the flesh, what does that mean, Brother Stroud? That means when we give pleasure or satisfaction to one's feelings or emotions that are not influenced by the Spirit of God. Whenever you give yourself over, and Peter's going to talk about some of those things, two of those major things in his text, he talked about that when that's the flesh, when I have those feelings or desires, emotions in me, and I want to satisfy, give pleasure to them. And Peter said, it's the lust of uncleanness. These things are morally impure. He said, not only that, you despise or look down on authority. He said, you are presumptuous. In other words, you, some of us that are bold, we'll say and do what we want to do, and we don't care about authority. He said, these people are not only that, they are self-willed. Some of us live just to please ourselves and not to please God. He said, they're not afraid to speak evil of those in high-ranking positions. And so when I talk about that, I want us to look at, in Romans chapter 1, because I'm going to use Romans in a couple of areas today, and I talk about sometimes, for those that are high on height, I talk about a holistic study. When you take a letter, remember, when we look at these letters, the book of Romans, that was a letter that Paul wrote to those that were in Rome that was delivered to them. And again, this letter had not book, chapter, and verses that's been added for man, so we can say things like turn to Romans chapter 1 or Romans chapter 4 and so on. But I'm going to show you how when you do a holistic study, how sometimes Paul will mention things in the end of his letter that you have to have read the first part of his letter to get an understanding. We have that case in the letter today when we close the letter. So in Romans chapter 1, we talk about uncleanness, the lust of uncleanness. Notice in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 22, Paul said, those that were ungodly, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed, Romans 1:23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God, notice we said, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. You know, I think it was last Sunday, Brother Brooks was talking about the heart of an individual. And notice now, he says, and this is key, to dishonor their own body between themselves. How they do it, Paul, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, talking about homosexuality now, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was fit. And so we see in this text how that when God will give you up and let you do whatever you want to do. He said, well, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient or not fitting. God will let you go and do whatever you want to do. You will live that life and enjoy living in pleasure. Peter talks about that. Go back to Peter's letter. So I want to establish that, what Peter talked about, the lust and the lust of uncleanness. He said, whereas, verse 11, 2 Peter 2:11, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them for the Lord. He said, even those that are angels don't bring accusations against them. And so I want to say that He said, but as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, these individuals speak evil of things that they understand not and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. So what Peter now does, he compares those whom he's talking about to, he called them natural brute beasts. So he's talking about it's almost a mindset of an animal. Animals live by instinct. Animals are irrational. He says they behave wildly and aggressive. He said, but these, verse 12, as natural, inborn brute beasts, he says, these beasts should be taken out and destroyed. They speak evil of things. And sometimes, even those of us in the church, we can talk about things that we don't even understand. You know, we talk with no biblical or spiritual understanding. Well, I don't agree with that. I don't think that's right. And your thinking doesn't line up with the will of God. These that he's talking about. And he says that regarding them, and shall receive the reward. That's my title. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes. He says, sporting themselves with their own deceiving while they feast with you. So he says here, these are those that are unrighteous, and we'll look at the text. Unrighteousness is, the word reward means payment. For unrighteousness is improper behavior according to the law of God, or in other words, wrongdoing. And Peter said, they count it pleasure. They give satisfaction to their sinful desires. And the word riot here is behavior such as drinking. And notice now, Peter says, these people, they're drinking the daytime. And you notice now, even when people now are doing things, those that are unrighteous that are out there, they are doing stuff now in the daytime. People are robbing people, doing, there's no shame. They're just doing whatever they want to do. And Peter said they're a righteous person. And they are behave with what is called, he said, blemishes are a shameful disgrace when a Christian behaves openly as they ought not behave. You out in public cussing and drinking. And you know, as I've been told, I don't have Facebook. My face is not on no book that I know of. But those that go on Facebook and there's no disgrace. You putting yourself on there, you're a Christian, and you showing yourself not dressed properly, with things in your hand you ought not have, behaving like you ought not to. He said, these are those that live in such a way, he says, spots they are, and they are blemishes. They are blemishes. If you're not careful, they'll feast with you. And when I talk about unrighteousness, go back to Romans chapter 1, because I'm going to connect this before I close, and I'm going to show you why holistic studying is beneficial. Because when you talk about unrighteousness, notice what Paul said to the Romans in Romans 1:29. I'm going back and picking it up. He said, being filled, talking about your heart, your mind, your desire, with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispering, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful foe, excuse me, who knowing, watch this now, who knowing the judgment of God. If you know the judgment of God, that they which commit such things, the Bible says, are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but watch this here, that but have pleasure in them that do them. That's unrighteousness. And so back in Peter's letter, Peter says, having eyes full of adultery, he says, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart. Notice here, a heart. They have exercise with covetous practices. They are cursed children. And so Peter talks about things in that day, drinking, partying. You know, they showed the scene of young people down, those that follow news and watch news down in Miami, not trying to be respectful of anything regarding safe practices as it relates to the coronavirus, but you are down there drinking and partying and not ceasing from sin. And Paul says here, notice now, notice what gets you in trouble oftentimes. It's your eyes. Oftentimes, your eyes influence your temptation. What you see gets you in trouble. And the Bible says they're full of adultery. And adultery, again, is fornication. But the thing about adultery, adultery, again, is sex between a married person and someone who is not that person's spouse according to the law of God. Yeah, that's what adultery is. And so you are drinking, having sex, enjoying yourself. He says, understand, you are cursed children. So this afternoon, how can the Christian, I want to exhort us, how can the Christian change their unrighteousness to that which is pleasing to God or righteousness? How is that possible? All of us have desires in us that are not right. Each of us have those things. So how do I change that behavior to that which is pleasing in God's eyesight? Turn to Romans 12, and I want to show you again in Romans, show you how when you do a holistic study, sometimes Paul would answer later in a letter what he identified in the beginning of the letter. Now notice in Romans chapter 1, for the sake of study, in Romans chapter 1, in verse 24, Paul talked to them about how God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart. Notice now he says, to dishonor their body between themselves. Whenever two bodies come together that are not lawful in the eyesight of God, that is a dishonor in the eyesight of God. But Paul, when he wrote to them in Romans chapter 12, now he's going to address that point that he identified in Romans chapter 1. Sometimes that's why it's important, when you have time, just sit down and take a book, take a letter, and just read it in its entirety and see how a question may be answered later that was identified earlier that there was no answer. But notice in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, he's going to answer how you correct or change that unrighteousness that he identified in chapter number 1. He said, notice the word now, I beseech you therefore, I beg you. This is a salvation matter, brethren, by the mercies of God. Notice now that you present your bodies. The last time you were dishonoring your body, now I want you to offer your body a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. This type of fight is living. This one is holy. The word acceptable means pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I want you to connect this. When he talked about in 2 Peter chapter 2, when he talked about, but as natural brute beasts, he was saying that those sacrifices they made in the Old Testament, those beasts that they offered, they were irrational. But now he says, which is your reasonable service. And the word reasonable comes from the word to reason. That means having or using the ability to reason or to think about things using the word of God. So we have to use the word of God when we offer service to God. I have to be able to think. I have to be intelligent service, using my intellect, being able to think. He says, and be not conformed to the world. You, as a Christian, I'm not out there partying and doing that with the world. I don't conform to the world, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to transform, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's your heart. That you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word perfect here means to be complete. And so how do I do that? Well, Peter talked about in his letter, again, when you read the letter, as you read it, you have to connect the letter to one another. How is it that I can have desires in me, things that I want to do that are not in keeping with the will of God? How can I stop doing that? Well, in Peter's letter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter said it. 2 Peter 1, beginning verse 5 to get to 7, he said, besides this, giving all diligence, he said, add to your faith. You got to have virtue. Virtue is moral living, knowledge. Then he uses the word temperance. That's the word I want to focus on this afternoon. The word temperance is, as a Christian, I have to be able to control myself. How do I do it, Brother Stroud? I do it by definition. It's the right use demands the controlling power of the will, meaning your feelings and your actions are controlled under the operation of the Spirit of God. It's the Word of God that controls me. I implement the Word of God in my life. That's what controls my behavior. You can't stop doing what you want to do if you don't have the Word of God in you. It's not sustainable. And so, as my encouragement, I got to stay in the book. I got to study the Word of God. So when I look at Peter's letter, Peter answered, unlike Paul, where Paul answered in Romans chapter 12, the question, the issue identified in chapter 1, what Peter did, Peter answered in chapter 1 what he's now identifying in chapter 2. Yeah, Peter just did it differently. I'm going to give you, it's like when you watch Jeopardy. Jeopardy gives you the answer. Now you got to give the question. Well, Peter used a little Jeopardy. He gave you the answer before you get the question. Yeah, it's in the Word of God. God will not. God will not. Understand this here. I shared with somebody this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 2 as I move toward a close. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and the verse is number 3. 1 Timothy 2 and 3. I want you to know this about God. God will punish you if you live a life of unrighteousness. But I also want you to know the type of God that you serve, because Paul told Timothy in his first letter, He said, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Watch this now, verse 4, 1 Timothy 2:4. Who will have all men, not some men, God's desire is that all men ought to be saved. But in order to be saved, they have to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And they have to understand that there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, and that man, or the man, is Christ Jesus. Why? Because he gave himself a ransom for all of us to be testified in due time. And so I'm saying to all of us this afternoon, if I live a life of unrighteousness, there's a payment. But God wants me to be saved. The only way I'm going to be saved is I got to put my mind into the book, put my eyes into the book. I got to study the Word of God that I can control those desires of me. If not, as Peter said, if you don't look at the Word of God, you are, as Peter said, but these as natural brute beasts. In other words, you are self-willed doing what you want to do. It needs to be more of us that are available on Wednesday night Bible class, and if you are available on Monday night, listening each night, if you are available enough to those nationwide gospel calls, that you can get the Word of God in you, that it can change your behavior. And some people say, I know the gospel, I obey the gospel. And I told someone this recently, one reason for listening to the gospel, it could be like me attending a marriage, a marital ceremony. What it reminds me of is the vows that I made to God when I first obeyed God. When I go to a marital, see a marital ceremony, it reminds me of the commitment I made to my wife and what I would do, and I made them in front of God. Well, when you hear a gospel message, sometimes for some of us, we need to go back and remember what we did and how we behaved when we first obeyed God, how on fire we were. And sometimes, as the song said, don't let your light burn low. And so if you're on the call this afternoon, how does one become a child of God, a Christian, a member of the church? Well, let's go back to Romans. It served us well thus far. Let's go back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 6. You'll find, and I want to make it clear, that until you obey the Lord, you are in your sin. You're still in your sin. And that's why Paul reminded them in Romans 6 and 1. He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. In other words, God won't allow his grace just to continue. He said, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Then he told them how they did it. He said, no, you're not. Don't you remember that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? So you have to hear the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. He was nailed to a cross. He was on that cross for 6 hours, with nails in his hands and feet. He died on that cross. When he died, they brought him down and they put him in a tomb. Well, we're buried in a tomb, but it's a liquid tomb. It's called baptism. Verse number 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so when you come up, you have a new life. God has washed away all your sins. Now we have to learn the Word of God and live according to the Word of God. And as I stated, looking at Romans again, just there in Romans 16 and 16, the Bible says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. So the church, there's only one church. The church belongs to Christ. He died for it. He gave his blood for it. So again, if you're on the call this afternoon and want to obey the Lord, you can reach out, have someone, get back with the person, invite you on the call. They can get with us. We'll set up the circumstances that you can be water baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, having obeyed truth and not error. Obey truth and become a child of God. I thank you very much. Thank you.